defending liberty 1 hour at a time, and broadcasting from the RWB Network Studios in New York, you're listening to The Rhino Report. Always right.
Let's get ready to rumble!
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
She got chunked. You are very rude.
If you want to turn yourselves into a greasy spot on a country road somewhere, go right ahead.
And now, here's your host, The Rhino.
Hello, hello, hello. I am The Rhino, and this is my report. The weekend's over. It's time to get back to business. I know it stinks, but we have to do it. Today's show is brought to you by Liberty HealthShare. Check them out online at joinlhs.com. If you have missed open enrollment, you can still enroll in Liberty HealthShare, and I got news for you. It's a lot cheaper than that terrible, terrible Obamacare. So check them out, joinlhs.com or libertyhealthshare.org. All right, on today's show, we have Democrats debating about, well, having a debate. Also, we're going to break down Wisconsin and New York contests on both sides, plus Paul Ryan tries to put to rest the idea that he will leave the RNC convention as the nominee. But do you believe him? And Hillary thinks we need to retrain police officers. Oh, and she's also on the record as saying that babies don't have rights. Plus, Black Lives Matter desecrates the American flag at a Trump rally. California follows New York in implementing a statewide minimum wage. And Donald Trump calls for John Kasich to abandon his run for the GOP nomination. We have a lot to get to. Kind of an idiot soup today. But we're gonna take it all in. We're going to break it all down. But first, we need to do the same thing we always do and salute our country with the Pledge of Allegiance. All right, the Rhino Report always brings you the Pledge of Allegiance by the kids. Like I always say, if you have a recording of your son or daughter saying the Pledge of Allegiance, a Boy Scout troop, a Girl Scout troop, whatever, kids saying the pledge, send it to me, rhino@rwbnetwork.com. We'll get them on air. We'll give them a shout-out. What's cooler than being on the radio? Not much. Not much is cooler. Because you don't want to be on TV anymore, right? Radio is so much better. TV, everyone has HD now. So if you have even like the hint of a pimple, or maybe your hairline is like an eighth of an inch back from where like the average person's hairline is, everybody's going to call you out on it. They're going to make fun of you on Twitter. They're going to go to town on you on Facebook and various social medias. So radio is just better. You know, I like to say that I have a face made for radio. That's what I like to say. I know I'm taking that from somebody else. I just forget who said it first, but it rings true in my case. So send me those audio files, Wave, MP3, MP4, and we'll get them here on the show. As always, you guys know you can always hear the Rhino Report on Red State Talk Radio Studio A on Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday at 2 p.m. On Tuesday and Thursday, we are right ahead of The Savage Nation. Michael Savage, great show. And then, of course, Studio B, as always, 1 a.m., Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. These are all Eastern times. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Sunday is Studio A. All Eastern times. And ICRN, the Internet's premier conservative radio network, at 9 a.m., Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. We're all over, guys. Stitcher, Spreaker, Podbean, TuneIn, iTunes, and now iHeart. Everywhere. Follow me on Twitter, at Rhino on Air. That's at Rhino, R-Y-N-O, on air, and I'll follow you back. And if I don't, just call me out, and I'll feel pretty bad about it, and I'll follow you anyway. So this weekend wasn't particularly good for a sports fan like me. Syracuse lost. I didn't like that. My Islanders got their butts kicked on Saturday just before Syracuse lost, so Saturday was a wash for me. And then Sunday, my beloved New York Mets facing the Kansas City Royals yet again. They lose 4-3. The only saving grace for me this weekend was Austin Dillon coming in fourth at Martinsville. That was kind of cool. He's having a good year. He's going to win a race this year. Well, I hope so anyway. So when I have these kinds of weekends, one of the first things I start doing at about, 9 o'clock at night on Sunday, after I say to heck with it, I just I start looking at what we're going to do for the show on Monday. And I know a lot of people in this business do that too. You take some time off after you finish recording, you unwind a little bit, and then you start already prepping for the next day's show. And it was one of those weekends where there was almost a lull, right? Last week there was so much news, and then you had some stuff going on this weekend with the campaigns and some town halls and, you know, things of that nature, but there it wasn't a big, big news weekend. So sometimes you get to the studio on Monday and you go, wow, what are we going to do today? And then there's times you get here and you go, oh my God, there's so much to do. This is kind of like in the middle. You know, there were some stories that got buried that you're not going to hear about a lot that we're going to talk about. And then there were some stories that sort of seeped through. Last night, Donald Trump had a town hall with Greta on Fox News. I watch Fox News as little as possible, but, you know, sometimes you have to do it. He really just kind of doubles down on the same things Donald Trump always seems to say. We need to make better deals. We have bad deals. We need to repeal and replace Obamacare. Get rid of the lines. You know, whenever he says that, whenever he says get rid of the lines around the states, the only thing I can think about is Marco Rubio during that debate making those circles with his fingers. That's the only thing I can think about. And then, of course, when I think about that, I think about like a Vegas showgirl. I don't know why. I don't know why my mind goes there, but that's where it goes. So he doubles down on this stuff. He says we have to stop paying for defense in Korea or South Korea, Japan. They need to start paying for their own defense mechanisms against North Korea and China. And then, of course, Greta says, well, that could lead to a nuclear arms race. And Donald Trump just says, well, there already is one between India and China and North Korea and Russia. It's already happening. And you can't dismiss that. He's probably right. All these countries have nuclear capabilities, whether they have the capability of putting a miniature warhead on an intercontinental ballistic missile, an ICBM, that we don't know. We keep saying North Korea doesn't have that capability, but at the end of the day, I suppose it's possible. I suppose it is. I mean, how much do we really know? And let me tell you something. If our government knew, they wouldn't tell us anyway. We are the last ones to know. They don't disseminate information to us. Now, it's a lot better than some places where you have state media in just a lot of countries, and they disseminate whatever information they see they feel suitable for you to have. But here, we get some information, dribs and drabs. It's pretty tight-lipped. You know, the most transparent administration in history. That would be this one, apparently. Well, I mean, it sort of is, right? Because I can see right through it. I know exactly what's going on. But in terms of how they get information out to the public, it's very, very slow. Very, very slow, and it's very, very metered, too, as well. So Donald Trump, these town halls, these debates, they don't really interest me anymore. And I know it's terrible for me to say that because that's what I do, right? I'm a political pundit, if you want to call me that. I'm whatever you want to call me. I've been called a lot of things in my life, but let's just stick with political pundit for right now. So I should be really interested. But this has been going on for so long. Ted Cruz announced now over a year ago. And then shortly behind him was Rand Paul. And then, of course, the chips started falling. And you had Jeb Bush and Chris Christie and John Kasich and my neighbor. And everybody started to say they were going to run for the GOP nomination, thinking it was this wide open field. That, of course, happening all before Donald Trump got involved. But we've been dealing with this and hearing the same answers and the same questions. Nobody has any original content. Now, when you decide you're going to do a radio show or a TV show or something where you're going to put yourself out there and give opinion, you need to have original content. Because if you don't have it, people just turn you off. You know, there are certain things that I'll keep pointing at, certain things that I'll say in a lot of different episodes, and that's because I believe it's important and I say it for emphasis. But these guys, they've been saying the same thing. And it's not just Donald Trump. It's Ted Cruz. It's John Kasich. It's Hillary Clinton. It's Bernie Sanders. If you haven't heard their message by now, you must be deaf or at least blind or perhaps both. You know, Fox thinks they're going to get these big ratings when they have a guy like Donald Trump on. And they get okay ratings when they do it. But they look back to last August, that first debate, or late July, whatever it was, when they had a 26 million million. That's a lot. 26 million viewers for that first debate. Remember that first debate when there was like 35 people on stage? Each person had, I don't know, what, 15 seconds of talk time? 26 million is a lot, especially in the summer. Nobody gets those kind of ratings. So, of course, once every other network saw that, they wanted a bunch of debates, even though CNBC and MSNBC screwed it up for themselves. CNN had a bunch, Fox News had more, Fox Business had more. And slowly but surely, the ratings kind of fell off. And they fell off at perhaps the worst time. Because as these debates should be getting more popular as we went towards Iowa and we went towards New Hampshire and South Carolina and Nevada. See, I said it right that time. These debates should have been watched by more people. But we were all kind of like, I don't know, done with it. We had heard enough. It was September. We heard enough already. So here we are in April. I almost said March. Here we are in April, and we're hearing the same things again. So it doesn't really interest me that much. I can watch it for 10 minutes because I kind of have to. But at the end of the day, I know what Donald Trump's going to say. I know what Ted Cruz is going to say. And I know what John Kasich's going to say. You know what they're going to say. At this point, there are a lot of you out there who have already voted in your primaries or you went to caucus. This is one of those situations where you guys are a little mad, and I get that. You know, most years, most election cycles, everything has been determined by now. It's just now going through the motions. You know, places like California don't really matter. New Jersey, New York, Wisconsin really is usually not even, you know, I mean, they're involved, but they don't really make any big decisions when it comes to primaries. It's already been decided, or somebody is within 100 delegates of having what they need, the 1237 this year. But this year it's not. I think you guys who voted early, I don't just mean your early voting states, but the people who have voted, let's say, March 15th back to February 1st. So everybody in that category. I think you guys did a really good job in some ways of culling the field. And I think you did a pretty poor job in some ways too, to be honest with you. I don't think we'd be having this problem right now. This idea of a contested convention, which is almost a certain reality. If you had people still in the race like Chris Christie's, right, like Jeb Bush's. Now, I don't support Jeb Bush. I liked Chris Christie. I knew he wasn't going to make it to New York's primary. I did know that. But you left us with three people who were ideologically actually pretty different. Pretty different. And it has become so contested at this point, contentious even, between the people who are voting for each candidate, that I don't know how we're ever going to come together. If you had three candidates like Jeb Bush, John Kasich, and Chris Christie, it wouldn't really be that way. Everybody would have coalesced by now, and we'd be focusing our attentions on Hillary Clinton or whoever the eventual Democrat nominee. At the very least, focus on going after Democrats. So you did a bad job in that instance, but you did a really, really good job in giving us three different people. It's odd how it works the same way. I mean, look at who we have. We have an outsider like Donald Trump, somebody who everyone thought this was a joke. When he comes down the escalator at the Trump Plaza there, and the first thing he says is, we're going to build a big wall. Everybody thought this was a huge joke, and here he is with the millions and millions of voters supporting him. And then you have Ted Cruz, the consummate constitutionalist. I mean, him and Donald Trump couldn't be further apart. And I don't mean ideologically. I mean just as a person. They are so, so different. And then you have John Kasich, right? John Kasich is what your Jeb Bush would have been. He is what, you know, your establishment, your Marco Rubio, whomever you want to say. That's who he is. And I don't think he's a bad person. I don't know if I would necessarily support him if he was the nominee, only because he would have gotten in a sort of shady way. But you left us with three people that are so different. Now, I go to primary on April 19th. I'm in New York, in case you couldn't tell. I'm still undecided as to who I'm going to vote for. I really don't know anymore. I thought by this point I would know exactly who it is. I guess you can call me undecided. Now, one of the funny things about this show, and I get it all the time, is that Cruz supporters think I'm a huge Cruz guy. Trump supporters think I'm a huge Trump guy. And Kasich supporters, well, they don't listen to me. They listen to NPR, so they don't really hear me. But I guess that's me doing a good job, but I don't know who I'm going to vote for. And maybe I'll throw Kasich into that mix, too. I don't know. I just don't know. You've left me with a very, very hard decision. And I guess that's good and bad. I guess it's good and bad. You know, you guys in the early states, you have a really, really important job. And this is something with us in the later states, we're not used to. We're not used to making these kinds of decisions. Remember, most of us live in blue states. We have decisions made for us every day. We don't have to make decisions. It's just, it's not part of what living in a blue state is, I guess. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not quite sure yet. I think Trump has a certain appeal. He has a brashness about him that I like. But I like Ted Cruz's ability, like he has said before, to prosecute the case against Hillary in a general election. And he doesn't push that enough. And if he is pushing that a lot, mainstream media isn't playing it because I'm not seeing it. I've only seen him say that a handful of times during debates. So that's where I am. I think we need a certain puff our chest out, we're Americans, hear us roar, that Donald Trump gives you, and then you have this very analytical, very smart, very savvy Ted Cruz that we could also benefit from. I don't think there's a bad decision here. You know, John Kasich, I don't think he's a bad decision. I think he's an indifferent decision. I think he's who we'd get if we just didn't care. Okay, throw up another Bush. Throw up another whatever. That's what I think you would get with John Kasich. Now, I think both Bushes were really good presidents. But it was sort of, how do you say? It was blah. It was vanilla for me. That's what it was. There was no one that was like really out there and really just drove your spirit of patriotism. I thought in 2012 that Newt Gingrich did that for me. I voted for Gingrich in 2012. I thought he drove this. He was like the very, very first kind of founding father of this patriotic movement. He said a lot of things during these debates that people will go, ooh, you can't say that. Or, oh, why are we talking about this all of a sudden? He did that, where Mitt Romney and Santorum, they all stayed very kind of, you know, very average, very nondescript. Newt Gingrich kind of was that wild card. He was the colorful one in the bunch, if you will. So I think in some regards, he kind of spawned this Trump movement. I know it's it's a loose connection. And only people who have really paid attention to the real minutiae of these elections could see that. Because they are miles apart in terms of personality and in terms of ideology, I can say that. But there was that running theme of patriotism that both definitely have. Now, I don't think Ted Cruz isn't patriotic. I think he's very patriotic. I think he is. I think he would be an outstanding president. I think any of the three would be acceptable. So I'm not sure where I'm going to go with this. I don't know who I'm going to pull that lever for or hang that chat or fill out my Scantron for. I told you guys after I go and I vote in the primary, I will tell you who I voted for. I'm not going to make that a secret. I don't think people in my position should make that a secret. You should know where we stand. I think that's your right as the listener. But it's getting interesting because I don't remember a whole lot of campaigning in New York ever. Now, today we have John Kasich at Hofstra University, which is about 8 miles from where I am right now. On Wednesday, we're going to have Donald Trump at Bethpage Studios. Bethpage used to be a Grumman facility. Now it's a lot of airplane hangars. Now it's a studio, and they used it to film that Sound of Music, that live version a couple years ago with Carrie Underwood, I think it was her. They filmed that there. So Trump is doing a rally there. He applied for the permits. He will get them. Nassau County, where both of these venues are Republican run, so they will get the permits. And Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders are sticking to the city because they can get their permits in the city. You had Bernie up in the Bronx and then Brooklyn, and Hillary's in Manhattan, of course, schmoozing the Upper East Siders. That's what she does best. So I don't remember this much campaigning in New York, and to me it's kind of cool because I'm always watching TV saying, man, you know what? Here it is, the end of January. It's cold, and I wish I was in Iowa. Like, who says that? But I say it because that's who I am. Or I wish I was in New Hampshire, freezing my feet off up there. Because you guys have a lot of that. You have a lot of this everyone's doing a town hall every 5 minutes, and you have commercials, and people are getting into it, and they're talking about it at diners, and there's campaign stops at you know, like Greasy Spoons. We don't have that here. It never happens. So for that I can thank you, I think. We'll see how this week goes. I think I can thank you, though, you guys in the early states. If we look at, let's look at the polls and we'll see where we are. I didn't really mean to go this direction with the first half of the show, but I think it's important. I do, because this is really the best way we've come together as a country since 9/11, and that's having these early states call the field and the late states make the decision. It's how we're coming together, and it's how we have to come together to support one nominee, so long as it's one of the top two. That's what I'm going to say. I think if it's one of the top two, we have to coalesce. If it's going to be Kasich, we can talk about it. But if it's anybody else, we're going to have big problems. So let's look at today's polls. A lot of polls. Some are good. Some are not so good. I'm going to look first at Wisconsin Emerson poll. Okay, Emerson has been really good all year. They've been actually very good. They were the only ones to call that big surge for Rubio in Iowa. Everybody was giving Rubio 7 or 8%. Emerson found him at 21%. So this is Wisconsin on the Republican side, and Emerson poll, Cruz at 40, Trump at 35, Kasich at 21. This is where Kasich had said, remember, we're heading back to the North. We're heading to my country, you know? And he's done okay in the North, but 21% in Wisconsin isn't great. Now, the numbers look up for Kasich in Wisconsin when he goes against Hillary Clinton. In an Emerson poll, Kasich versus Clinton, Kasich has 52 to Clinton's 38. That's big. That's a big lead for, and in a swing state, which really is a pretty blue state now. Used to be a swing state, really more blue now. I don't know if that's an outlier or not. That I'm not sure. But in an IBD general election poll, Kasich beats Clinton also, this time by 7. General election polls, throw them out. They mean nothing. With the way we have our election set up, with the Electoral College, general polls mean nothing. They don't mean a thing. That's IBD. They have had some questionable polls in the past. So if you look at on the Democrat side, Sanders at 51% to Clinton's 43 in Wisconsin. Clinton has all but abandoned Wisconsin. She has been rallying and scooping up donations in New York for the last few days because she's in trouble. She's in danger of losing New York. 4 or 5 months ago, she had like a 60-point lead here. I'm not sure if it was 60, but it was right around there, 50 to 60 points. Now, it's under 10. Sanders is picking up a lot of speed in New York. If Hillary loses Wisconsin, and if she loses New York, this could be over for her. It could be. It honestly could be. That is a lot of momentum for Sanders. And I don't know if it's going to be over because of the delegate count. It will be over because of the superdelegates. I think they will start to see the shift in the winds. And a few have already said they're trickling over to the Sanders side, a few of these superdelegates, you know, the ones that the DNC handpicks to make sure the winner is who they want. A few of them are starting to recant a little bit and saying they're going over to Sanders. So this could be huge for him. Now, in a lot of national polls, you see Sanders beating Republican candidates. It's hogwash. It's never going to happen. So don't let those fool you. Fox News wants to fool you. CNN wants to fool you. They want to fool you because they want to say, wow, look at this. You better watch us to stay tuned. It's all about ratings for them. Don't trust national polls, especially with Sanders, especially. his voters, they're going to have to come out and vote. And I don't think a lot of them will. I don't think so. And I don't think they'll come out and vote for Hillary either. If Hillary gets the nod, I don't think his 35-year-old voters living in the basement are going to go out and vote. I just don't see it. And the ones who he has in college, his big college supporters, they're going to have to drive 2, 3, 4, 5 hours home to go vote for Hillary. I don't think they're going to do that for her. So that's Wisconsin. We have another Wisconsin poll. This is a CBS News YouGov poll. This came out yesterday. This is a little bit closer. This shows Cruz at 43, Trump at 37, Kasich at 18, and on the Democrat side, Sanders still winning 49 to 47. There's also a CBS New York poll here. This shows Trump at 52. Now, if you get 50% New York, you take the whole bag. Okay, if you get 50%, you take everything. But Trump at 52, Cruz at 21, Kasich at 20. I'm surprised Cruz is getting 21 in New York. He was polling here at about 6%, no more than a couple of weeks ago. And in New York, you have Clinton at 53, Sanders at 43. But that gap is closing very, very quickly. And it may just close in time for April 19th. And that would be a tremendous loss for Hillary Clinton. Now, looking at Pennsylvania, again, a CBS News YouGov poll. Trump at 47, Cruz at 29, Kasich at 22. Trump is going to do well here, and it's going to be because of the coal and the fracking. I think that's where he does well. And then you have, let's see what else we have. We have, this is a Loras College poll out of Wisconsin. Cruz 38. Trump 31, Kasich 18. This one shows Clinton in the lead in Wisconsin. I'd have to check the sampling on that. Loras has been pretty far off the entire time. So those are your polls. It's going to get nasty, especially here in New York. There are a lot of delegates on both sides up for grabs in New York. But heed this: if Hillary loses Wisconsin and New York, it could be over for her. It could be over for her. Hopefully the Sanders people go out and they get more names off of tombstones than Hillary's people get. That's what it's going to come down to. I believe Trump will win New York. He may not get that 50% he needs to take all the delegates, but he might. And I think Cruz will probably eke it out in Wisconsin. Trump had a bad week. He had a bad week. All the stuff with Heidi Cruz and the retweets. And, you know, you guys know the story. You guys know the story. I don't need to tell you. So, bad week for Trump, and it's showing in Wisconsin. Showing in Wisconsin. All right, so it looks like there are still a lot of stories out there about what may happen at the convention, that there may not be a clear-cut winner, and I think we can all agree that that is a possibility. It may not be a high probability at this point, but it is still a possibility. And what's going to happen? Everybody wants to talk about what's going to happen. Is it going to be Cruz? Is it going to be Trump? Is it going to be somebody else? Well, there are a lot of people out there starting to think that it may be somebody else. One of the names we've heard floated the last couple of weeks has been Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan, remember, he's the guy that said he didn't want to run for Speaker? Oh, but you can nominate me and I'll accept it if I win, right? But I'm not going to run for Speaker. Well, he says he's not going to run for president either, or for the nomination either. So we've seen this play out before. I don't believe much of what Paul Ryan says. I didn't care for him as a VP candidate. I don't care for him as Speaker. And I definitely would not care for him as a nomination of somebody that did not go through the process, this rigorous process that these guys have gone through, especially to this point with Cruz and Trump and Kasich. This has been a very, very long, rigorous, arduous journey for them. To parachute somebody in now would be detrimental to the party in a lot of different ways. So, you know, we're going to talk a little bit more about this when we come back. I don't have quite enough time to get into it fully. So let's take a break. But during the break, head over to Twitter. Give me a follow, at Rhino on Air. That's at Rhino, R-Y-N-O on Air. You can always email me, Rhino at RWB Network. I'll get your email and I'll email you back. Remember to check out rhinoreport.com. It's the new website. There's some cool stuff there. I think it looks cool, too. So that's rhinoreport.com, and we'll see you back in about 90 seconds.
You're listening to the Rhino Report, always right on the RWB Network.
Hey guys, if you've missed the open enrollment for Obamacare, you need to listen up. Liberty HealthShare has the answer. Liberty HealthShare offers an affordable healthcare option that allows Americans to enroll any time of the year. For those of you who have already enrolled, but just aren't happy with the plan you chose, there's still hope. Liberty HealthShare allows Americans to control, manage, and direct their healthcare, yet still be in good standing with the Affordable Care Act. Members are exempt from tax penalties and mandates imposed on individuals for not having health insurance, thus giving you freedom from insurance. Liberty HealthShare empowers their members by giving them the ability to choose any doctor or hospital across the nation. Any doctor or hospital. Memberships are for individuals, couples, and families, offering a variety of options to best suit an individual's medical needs. If you're a freedom-loving American like myself, and you're looking for contract-free healthcare, then this is for you. For more information on how to enroll at any time of the year, call them at 1-855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org on the web. Do it today.
This is Jeff Carlisi from the band 38 Special. Let us never forget that police lives matter.
All right, we are back with the Rhino Report. I am your host and your friend, the Rhino. You know, during the break, I'm always looking for other articles to maybe mention here or there. And, you know, one just kind of caught my eye. I don't watch these award ceremonies that the celebrities put on for themselves. You know, they get like $100,000 gift baskets there. They're just, it's all about their own brand and what they're wearing. And I don't like it. They're patting themselves on the back for what? For what, really, at the end of the day? What? They have assistants, they have all this stuff. I don't watch them, I don't care for them. But I did see a picture, and now, I was not a Justin Bieber fan to begin with. You know, I guess for obvious reasons, I'm a guy, and I like good music. So, but now I see a picture of him, he's wearing a Rangers jersey at these awards last night, and now I'm just totally anti-Bieber. You can't wear a Rangers jersey, come on. That's like, that's a sacrilege for me. But, so, yeah, you know, I don't watch those things. They're garbage. It's just, it's a bunch of people who have too much money patting each other on the back. And I don't like that, especially in our current economic climate. I think it's very disingenuous. It's very disingenuous. All right. We were talking about Paul Ryan, and he says he doesn't want to be the nominee because he didn't run for the position. You know, he's taking this approach now. He was on Hugh Hewitt's show. And he said he doesn't want to be the nominee because he didn't run for it. He didn't put in the time and the effort. So he's really trying to take the side of all of us who are saying you can't drop somebody in because they didn't go through the process. I still don't believe him. I believe if he were selected by these delegates that break away, now we're hearing that 168 delegates, I believe, at this point, who are RNC loyal, are going to break away from their first ballot. And that does not mean they're going to break from Trump and go to Cruz. They're going to break from Cruz and from Trump, okay? So if you're a Cruz guy or a Cruz gal, don't get so excited. They don't want either one. The RNC does not want either one. I highly doubt either one will be the nominee at this point. But Paul Ryan is saying it's not going to be him as the Speaker of the House. His job is to just be an arbiter. He's going to moderate and make sure the rules of the convention are followed. Now, we all know the Rules Committee meets a week before the convention is to convene, and they're going to make up a whole new list of rules. They have to get rid of Rule 40B, because 40B says that you are not eligible to be on the ballot unless you've won the majority of votes in 8 states, or the majority of delegates in 8 states. And nobody, except for Trump or Cruz, has done that to this point. So they would be the only two on the ballot, and John Kasich is obviously well aware that they will be changing this rule, because if he thought they wouldn't, he wouldn't still be in the process. Now, John Kasich is still in fourth place. I've been over this with you guys before. He's not in third place. He's in the third out of the three that are remaining, but Marco Rubio only suspended his campaign. He didn't give up his delegates or anything, so Kasich is still in fourth place. I would not be surprised to see maybe a Marco Rubio make a resurgence at the convention. So, we got to keep an eye on this. This is where we need to step up and defend liberty. We here have a democratic process. We vote, and the person who gets the majority of the votes wins. It's really very simple. Very simple. It's not a complicated process. The RNC and the DNC make it complicated so that they can elevate their own candidates, people who will be beholden to the same special interests. That's why it's complicated. That's why when you look at all the different rules and the state conventions and everything else, you don't know who's going to have what amount of delegates ever. I mean, it changes every day. Every day, the delegate count changes by one or two here or there. I was speaking with Tina Jones Griffiths, who's one of our writers on the RWB Network, and she had come up with a plan, and I like her plan, and it's so simple that it almost seems silly why we don't do it. She had said, why don't we have a campaign season where you can only openly campaign, maybe like a fishing season, you can only start campaigning as however they define it on a certain day. And let's say the campaign season is 3 months, okay? And then after those 3 months, we all go to vote like a national election. Everybody goes to vote, who's a Republican or conservative, or if it's open, it doesn't matter, goes to vote on the same day. And whoever gets the majority of the votes is the nominee. Sounds like a really easy plan to me. And then you can spend the rest of the time going after the other party while they are still going through their rigmarole DNC campaign process. It would give us 3 months or 2 or 3 months prior to the convention to hammer the other side and build support before we even have a convention. It seems so simple. It seems so easy. And it seems like that would give us what we want, what the people want. It would give us 3 more months to coalesce behind the winner. And then maybe we could take it a step further. Where you have the winner, they will be the nominee. And then you have maybe 2 weeks later another election. Okay, where you pick out of the remaining people who the vice presidential nominee would be. So now you have your ticket already formed a couple of months before the convention. Everybody can get used to it. Everybody can coalesce behind them, and they can really start to go after the Democrats. I like that idea. Now, I know some of you in your caucus states, you like your caucuses. And I get it. It's a very grassroots way of doing things. It harkens back a long time. I understand that. But this way, at least the majority wins. And that's what a democracy is when the majority wins. That's essentially the definition of it. So I don't think that will ever happen because that takes all of the power away from the RNC. The DNC will definitely never do that. Never, not in a million years. You can bet your bottom dollar. Because they like their superdelegates, so they like picking their candidate at the DNC level more than the RNC does. That's why they have, like, I don't know, 15,000 superdelegates or whatever it is. They have too many. But I like the idea. I don't think it'll ever work. I think the only way that works is if you have a new party. And I've been talking about this for months now. A Patriot Party, whatever you want to call it. A real Tea Party, you know, something on the ballot. Something on the ballot. A Federalist Party, I like that too. Then maybe you can see some real change. Because we're going to see some change in the RNC. They're going to have to. They're going to have to change their rhetoric and the way they do things a little bit. Because people are not happy with the RNC. I mean, a vote at this point for Cruz or Trump is a vote against the RNC. It's a vote against the establishment. And if they don't heed that warning, you better believe... And they lose this election. Let's say they put up, let's just say Marco Rubio, just for whatever. And he loses to Hillary Clinton. Or even if he wins, you're going to see in 2020, possibly a primary candidate against the incumbent president, or at least somebody on a different ticket that will be third party. Because people will be so fed up. They'll be so fed up with it. If he loses to Hillary, that will be the end of the GOP, the end of the RNC. It will be dissolved. They'll have no choice. So I like Tina's idea. We spoke about it for a while. Maybe she'll write an article about it. If she's listening right now, hint, hint. All right. So people are going to break away from that. We went over that. Let's talk about California. Governor Jerry Brown today, just minutes ago, moments ago, breaking news here on the Rhino Report. signs a bill raising the minimum wage from $10 an hour in California to $15 by 2022. No exceptions. That's where it differs from New York's plan. New York has a ratcheted type of plan where different parts of the state will have to be raised a certain amount by a certain year. And then after 2 years, they're going to bring in a third-party firm to see the impact, the economic impacts, which I can tell you are not going to be good. And then they'll decide if they'll keep going from there. Well, this is unilateral. This is across the board. This is by 2022. You must make at least $15 an hour in the state of California. Now, I can already hear the moving trucks backing up to some of these big companies in California to get their companies out of California. They're going to be leaving. They're going to be going to Texas. They're going to be going to Kansas, to Oklahoma. They're going to be going to maybe Nevada. Now, if these companies come to Texas or they come to Kansas or Oklahoma, you have to make sure they don't bring their politics with them. And I think they won't, because their politics so far have been what's been their demise, essentially. But this is a little bit more intriguing than New York's raise, only because of the nature of it. Now, there are places of California, for those of you who are out there, we have a large listener base in California, I thank you for listening, where parts of the state really have nothing in common with the California most of us think about, right? The most of us think about California, we think about San Diego and I guess Orange County and LA and Long Beach and these areas, Southern California. There are places of Northern California and Eastern California that have nothing, there's no similarity between the two. And some of these businesses in Northern California, out in the woods, up there in the mountains, they can't afford to pay people $15 an hour. That is ridiculous. We went over it, I think, two shows in a row last week. You can't expect somebody to increase their business 50%. You can't do it. It's impossible. 50% over the next 2 years. That is crazy. That's Bernie Madoff stuff. That's Bernie Madoff type returns. So, I don't know how long this is going to be around for. Hopefully, Californians get their act together and they elect a governor and a state legislature that will squash this. This will be tremendous impacts on that state because of this. Businesses will leave. That is a foregone conclusion. They will leave and they will go to red states that are much friendlier to small businesses. So that was breaking as I was talking. So we had to include it because we do breaking news here sometimes. on the rare occasion that it happens, we'll do it. Let's look over to the crybaby party. I'm sorry, the Democrat Party. And let's talk about what they are going to do in terms of debates. Now, they've been spending the last 2 or 3 days debating about having a debate. Bernie wants to have one. Hillary says, oh, yeah, I'll be glad to have one. But Hillary said she would debate. Get this. She wants to have the debate either on a weekday morning, okay? So I guess instead of watching The View, they can watch the debate. Or tonight, Monday night, during the NCAA men's championship game. Isn't that unbelievable? That's like they had that debate during the football playoffs. I forget who was playing, but there was a Sunday night debate during the football playoffs, and then they had another debate the same night as the national championship for NCAA football. They just don't want you to watch this because they know when they're held to task, when they're held to giving an opinion, that the average person looks at them and goes, are you nuts? Are you nuts? You know, there's no such thing as a free lunch. And I don't know who ever told these people that they deserve a free lunch. But there is no such thing as a free lunch. Somewhere, somebody is paying for it. And when they get onto a big stage on a Thursday night, on a Wednesday night, at 8 or 9 o'clock at night, and people watch it, they start to say, you know what? Maybe Trump doesn't sound so crazy. Maybe Cruz doesn't sound so crazy. That's why they don't want a debate. Also, Hillary doesn't want a debate because she is the presumed frontrunner, and I guess delegate-wise she kind of is, but she doesn't want to have to go up against number two, right? Number two always wants to debate number one. So she doesn't want to do it. So yeah, weekday morning or up against the national championship. Why not? We'll do it then. Bernie has said he's available April 10th, April 11th, April 12th, or April 13th. So he's given quite a few dates where he can make himself readily available for a debate. Now, I guess there was one day that the Clinton campaign did choose, but they already knew that Sanders had park permits for a rally in New York City. So, yeah, we'll debate that day, but they couldn't do it. So, Sanders has accepted an invitation to debate on NBC News on April 10th. So, we're waiting to see if the Clinton camp acquiesces and if they will debate also. Maybe they'll have Bill Clinton make the decision. He is like, he's out of his mind. Have you heard him lately? I mean, he just sounds like a mumbling idiot. I hate saying that about a former president, but he just sounds terrible. I don't know what's gotten into this guy. I don't know if he's sick. I don't know what the deal is. But if you hear him speak at some of these rallies, it's like, what is he saying? I mean, you think he's going to start talking about New World Orders and aliens and the Illuminati? You don't know what he's going to say next. You don't know what he's going to say next, but maybe he can make the decision for Hillary. I don't know. Trump says that John Kasich should bow out. He shouldn't be in the race. If you can't win, don't play. That is definitely the competitive spirit we see from Donald Trump on just about a daily basis. You know, if Kasich wants to stay in, I guess stay in. That's my opinion on it. I guess everybody has the right to run, and I wouldn't want to restrict somebody's right to run. This show is all about defending liberties and defending our rights. And if Kasich has the right to run, I mean, I don't like that Donald Trump says things like that. I think it shows his little little lack of understanding for the Constitution. And I'll admit that. I think it shows that a little bit. But listen, if Kasich wants to stay in, let him stay in. You know, I think people will flip out regardless if he becomes the nominee. So, you know, let that unfold as it will. But that was news over the weekend. Of course, everything Donald Trump says is news. I believe he ordered a roast beef sandwich on Saturday, and that made the news. So let's go back to the idiot soup here a little bit. Hillary Clinton says she was at a rally on Sunday, and she decided that police officers need to be retrained. They're just not trained well enough. They're not. She says, today I was endorsed by this beautiful young woman, Nicole Bell, whose fiancé was killed by the police right before she was to be married. When I was a senator, I tried to help. I tried to stand up about what had happened. Now, when Hillary Clinton was a senator, she didn't do anything. I think she co-sponsored two bills in 8 years. It was something ridiculous like that, and one of them was renaming a post office. It was ridiculous. Now, this Nicole Bell, she was the wife, I believe his name is Sean Bell. They were at a nightclub, and I think what had happened was he was shooting at the cop car, and the cops ran him over. It was something like that. I don't know the details anymore. It was a while ago. But it wasn't one of these completely unjustified things. But, of course, Hillary says cops need to be retrained. They're just not trained well enough. Well, she wouldn't know anything about it. She has never been to a law enforcement academy. Nobody she knows has been to a law enforcement academy. The Clintons have no friends. They have no friends. That's why they keep running for office, because they just have no friends. They're politicians lifelong. We're going to have to just throw them out of here on a boat or something, or push them off an iceberg when they get old. They have no friends, so they keep running. So they don't know anybody who's actually a real cop or, you know. She tries to stay away from cops, right? She tries to stay away from cops because they may catch her in the act of doing something. But she says they need to be retrained. They need to not do so much racial profiling, because that's rampant in the police departments. And she references a number here and says that 90 people a day are dying of gun violence, 33,000 people a year, and the number one cause of death among African American men is gun violence. Now, she uses this in the speech to call for retraining police officers. But she doesn't mention that these deaths among young African-American men are primarily due to black-on-black crime. The number of deaths that are related to police officer shootings, unjustified ones, is almost zero. Almost zero. All right, there are a couple of police officer shootings, and a couple of them have been unjustified. If you go back through the years, it has happened. But she uses these numbers to gin up her base, right? And her base has become the black community. That has become her base. Now, I don't know how you can try to win an election with 20% of the population. You can win a primary that way. That may work. At the end of the day, Hillary Clinton does not like law enforcement. She does not want them to have weapons. She does not want you or me to have weapons. It's very, very clear. She has supported a buyback mandate, okay? She does not support the Second Amendment, and she does not support police officers. I would love to get a couple of police officer union presidents on here to see where they stand and if they will support Hillary. I don't think they will. PBAs have in the past supported Democrats. I don't think they will support her. I hope they won't support her. This speech she made, it was full of misinformation. She said that Nicole Bell had wrote an editorial in the Daily News saying she was going to endorse Hillary. That never happened. She didn't write anything. She did a little 5-minute interview with a writer from the Daily News. There was no editorial. Don't make this sound like she actually put pen to paper. It's full of misinformation. Anything Hillary says, full of misinformation. This comes on the heels of on NBC's Meet the Press, she was talking with Chuck Todd, and Todd asked her, when or if does an unborn child have constitutional rights? Okay? Hillary says, well, under our laws, currently, that is not something that exists. The unborn person doesn't have constitutional rights. That's what Hillary Clinton said. But she believes that somebody coming here illegally has constitutional rights. See, there is this overlying hypocrisy that just seems to infiltrate the minds of Democrat candidates and some of their supporters, I suppose, because they have a few. I know, it's unimaginable to me to even believe that. But here's my question. If she thinks unborn babies don't have rights, now, do the unborn anchor babies not have rights either? You know, the ones that might vote for her? That's a question I'd love to ask. I'd love to ask her that. She'll never come on this show. I mean, I don't expect her to. And to be honest, but I don't know if I didn't want that. But there's this hypocrisy that just swirls around these Democrats. It swirls around them. And it always lands on, well, you know what? Just do what I say. Just do what I say. Because I know better. I'm more educated. I was the first lady. I was the first lady of Arkansas. I was a senator. I was the Secretary of State. I just know better than you. That's the theme I get from Hillary. And to say unborn babies don't have rights, that's like saying the mother doesn't have rights, because the baby is a part of the mother. Whether Democrats choose to accept that as fact or not, it is the case. So here's the one saying that Republicans don't care about women. Well, she doesn't care about certain parts of the women, apparently. All right, at a Donald Trump protest, we saw Black Lives Matter protesters stomping on the flag, spitting on the flag, saying, F this flag, F this country. This was terrible. There's a video on YouTube about it. It's called F Your Flag, Black Activists Stomp on U.S. Flag. This was done in front of veterans, the same people who have fought to make sure that these people could actually, you know, live in freedom. Everybody, the whole country, be free and have our liberties. They defended our liberties with their lives. These Black Lives Matter protesters are stomping on the flag, spitting on the flag. One guy even says, hey, look at this one. It's a big loogie, and he spits right on it. This is just disrespectful. If you don't like our flag, you are free to leave. I really hope that the next president does something about this and says desecrating our flag is a misdemeanor or violation or something. Something. I think it's weak that it's not a... I know it's freedom of speech, and I get all that, but at the end of the day, I think it's disrespectful to our veterans. Very disrespectful. And I hope they do something about that. I don't think they will. I think it's a very hot button issue. But hey, listen, someone like Donald Trump may just make that a reality for us. If you're going to protest, that's fine. I believe our flag is sacred. I believe men and women have died protecting that flag, protecting our rights. And you doing that just shows the kind of person you really are. This isn't about racial divide. This is all about just hating our country and hating what we stand for. And if that's the case, then please, by all means, leave. The door is open to leave. So that's all we have for today, folks. I'll see you guys back again on Wednesday. All right, so a big thank you to all of those serving our country at home and abroad. Also, a huge thank you to those in the law enforcement community. Thank you for all you do. Keep up all the hard work. We all depend on you. God bless all of you. God bless all of your families. And until Wednesday, I'm the Rhino, and I'm out.
Been listening to the Rhino Report. Always right. Copyright 2016.